Hello, guys. Welcome back to another podcast. I am Mackenzie, and I have a really, really special guest on my podcast today via Zoom, since we can't meet together because of the quarantine and the COVID, and we're trying to be safe. And so I have a very special friend with me, and I will let her introduce herself.
Well, hey, guys. I'm Joanne Rodriguez, and Kenzie was saying, I'm so glad we can do this over Zoom via like just the circumstances. But yeah, thanks so much for having me on here, Mackenzie.
Yeah, of course. You know, I brought you on today because I know that most of my podcast is definitely about healing and just trying to get through things. And, you know, I talked a lot about my chronic illnesses that I face and eating disorders. And I've had a couple of friends on here just talk about the things that they've been through. And, you know, I really wanted to just talk about something really different that I think people don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable. And that is something that I want to just get away with because it shouldn't be an uncomfortable topic to talk about. And if someone has been through what we're going to talk about today, I want them to be able to feel like they can say whatever they want and be able to tell their story.
I agree.
So, basically, what I want to talk about today was sexual assault, and it is an extremely hard topic to talk about. It is very sad, and it's honestly heartbreaking. I myself have never gone through that, but I do have other friends and, you know, of course you, and that have gone through this, and it is just, I mean, it seriously just breaks my heart. I can't even imagine what that's like. I know I have gone through some hard things in my life, but that is just like over the top. And I really just want you to, you know, be able to tell your story. And, you know, as we go on throughout the podcast, I'll probably ask you a couple questions. So first we'll just start off with, you know, how old were you when it happened and like how, like kind of what was the setting like and everything like that?
Yeah. So I graduated high school when I was 17. So I was a year younger than most of my classmates. Most of my classmates are 18. So when I went my whole first semester of college, I was still 17. And you know, I had a really strict upbringing. So I kind of wanted to like be rebellious. I wanted to like get away from home. So I decided to go to like Penn State, which is a great school, but, super far from home. Since, you know, we live in Charlotte, North Carolina, so Penn State was super far, but I was like, it's okay. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great experience. But I was 17. It happened over, it was right before winter break, before we came home, for like a good month, for winter. And, basically, I mean, as most people know, you know, when you go to college, like part of the experience is like partying and like hanging out with other people. And, like I said, I had a really strict upbringing, so I had never gone to parties. I'd never really drank alcohol like that, and I just wanted to experience it. But I went to a fraternity party, which I know it sounds so cliche because, like, when you see movies, like, you hear about fraternities and, like, these terrible things happening there. Yeah. And I don't want to bash Greek life or fraternities or anything like that because I have some amazing friends and people that are a part of it. But, you know, there's negative connotations with anything in life, and just like Greek life, there's good things and there's bad things. But yeah, I had gone to a fraternity party with a couple of people I thought were my friends. You know, come to find out later on they weren't, but basically I had just gone there for the night, and by the end of the night, my friends, I say it with quotation marks, had left me. So I ended up being all by myself. So that was kind of like the setting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, that is crazy. And it's like, you know, with the whole fraternity thing, that is kind of like where you hear some of that stuff happening. I mean, I know you're definitely not the first person that's probably happened at. And I didn't go to a like 4-year college. I went to a community college. So I didn't really experience any of that. But I've definitely been in a place where you just feel so uncomfortable and been with, you know, so-called friends. Like, of course, I went to like parties or went to the clubs, you know, when I was 18.
Yeah.
And just going with people that you thought were your friends and then just leaving you, like, I can't count on how many times on my hands I had friends just like, they would be super drunk and I would be sober and they would leave me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like so young, you know, I'm like, I can't like go anywhere by myself. It's dark. I don't know where I'm at. And that is just like the worst feeling. And especially it's with people that you thought were supposed to be your friends. So did you know the guy at all that did this to you, or was it just some random kid?
So no, I had seen his face before, just from like going into these parties and around campus, but I didn't know him personally. He was a senior. So, you know, he was a good bit older than me. I didn't know him. And like that night, so I don't want to say that I was like, shrugged or anything, because I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that, you know, like I was given drinks by him and I was pretty drunk after a while. So, and
yeah,
I didn't drink much. So I don't want to say for sure, cause I don't know, but it's a possibility.
Of course.
But no, I didn't know him well. It didn't happen at the fraternity house. What happened was like, he was kind of hanging out with me and my friends. I had thought that they were just going to the bathroom because they all went and they're like, do you want to come or do you want to wait with, wait right here? I was like, oh, I'll just wait here. And like 10 minutes had gone by, they still weren't back. And he was like, oh, well, you know, you can come hang with me and my friends while you wait. I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And we went outside, like outside of the fraternity house. And I was still texting my friends, like, where are you guys? Like, I'm outside, meet up with me when you're done. And they're like, oh, we actually left. I think we're going to another party. And I was like, wait, what? I started freaking out because I was like, well, so just not to like sidetrack, but I went to Penn State, but my first year I was at Penn State Altoona, which was a branch campus.
Okay.
Like 35 minutes away from the main campus. Mm-hmm. So that night I was staying with friends, those friends that lived at main campus. I was staying at their dorms. My campus was like 40 minutes away and I wasn't going back till the next day. So I was freaking out. I was like, okay, these are the people I'm supposed to be sleeping with. Like, so I told them to go, like I have to go back to East Halls, which are the freshman halls across from campus. Like, no, it's fine. Let's go to my place. You know, I'll call you an Uber, whatever. And at that point I was starting to feel like not sick, but like pretty drunk. And like I said, I hadn't gotten drunk a million, like a bunch of times before. So I wasn't feeling well. And I was just like, okay. And we walked to his off campus house, which was blocks and blocks away. And I felt like at some point I should have been like, okay, maybe we should stop walking. Maybe we should go back. But like, I didn't. Like I was scared, like I was 17.
Of course,
I was still so young, like impressionable. I was like, oh, here's this older guy that's giving me attention, like he seems, you know, like let me just go with him. I never thought like anything. I truly didn't think anything bad was going to happen. I mean, he took me all the way to his off-campus house, and by the time we got there, it's like, I'm sure you've had this feeling before, and everyone has had like times in their life where they've just gotten like a horrible like gut feeling, where you just like know like the situation you're in is not good. It's like it's almost like your fight or flight response is like starting to get triggered. That's like how I felt once we got there.
I mean, geez, it's like, and you know too, what's sad that I feel like society, and I feel like it's not only men that make us feel like this, but sometimes women too that haven't maybe gone through this, or like people that are older, but they always feel like there has to be a reason why that happened to you. Or, you know, the whole thing about, well, you must have been wearing something really sexual that made him do that. Or you were drinking, so like that makes it like basically like you're sloppy, so you deserved it, kind of thing. And that's just the part that irritates me and frustrates me, because it's like, no matter what you were wearing or no matter what you were doing or anything like that, that does not give anybody right to touch you, to be inappropriate with you, unless you say yes. And, you know, the whole thing about you just being scared and not knowing to leave like that. I mean, I've been in a situation like that, you know, and it's like, it's the most awful feeling, because you're like, I can't leave because I'm so scared. But it's like, I don't know what else to do. And I just know something bad's about to happen. Like you were talking about that fight or flight, like, you know, and it's like, that's just the worst feeling, because you're like, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to, like, something bad's going to happen to me and I can't do anything about it. And you just, you know, it's just definitely not the best of feelings. So I totally get that. But, you know, I just want to say personally, like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You know, it's just, it's so sad. I can't even imagine what that's like. And you are probably one of the most strongest people I know. You know, I know that we're not super close, you know, that we hang out all the time. It's like that. And we, you know, met through, basically, I think, like, mental health group. But I just know that I've, you know, we followed each other and, you know, I definitely consider you a friend of mine. So it's definitely amazing to see such a strong person and where you've come from. And also, like, you went through that and you didn't let it destroy your life. Like, you still are living and you're happily married. So, I mean, I that's amazing. So how does everything that happened to you when that did, how does that affect sometimes your relationship now that you do have with your husband?
Do you... Okay. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
So one thing is, so after that happened, I actually never went back to Penn State after that. I finished my spring semester and I came home and I hadn't told anyone that this happened, like, personally from home, except for my now husband at the time. So him and I started dating March. So, like, 3 months after I was sexually assaulted. And he was the only person, like, from back home that I had told. And, you know, he's always, to this day, still been always so supportive, so understanding. But that summer when I came home was when kind of, like, my mental health problems started to just, like, kind of pile on to each other. I had never gotten, like, therapy for, like, being sexually assaulted and everything that came after. And that summer, I actually tried to take my life. So, and it sounds so weird saying now because this happened years ago. And it's just crazy to think, like, how much you can evolve in, like, just a couple years and even just in a couple months. But at that time in my life, I felt like life was just never going to get better. You know, I was like, I'm always just going to be in this mindset. Like, the thing is, like, every time I closed my eyes, I would see things that happened to me or, like, felt the things that I felt. And I was just like, I just don't see how people can live like this. I was like, I can't, like, I just can't do this. And I, you know, after that happened, I was in a mental health hospital for, like, a little bit. And I'm honestly so glad for that time. I, like, met amazing counselors. I met just amazing people. Like, it just goes to show you, like, you know, with mental health and everything, you just, you never know people's stories. Like, people can seem so normal on the outside and you have no idea
exactly
what they're battling. So we just have to be, and it sounds cliche, like, oh, be kind, do this, but, like, it's just true. Like, there's just so much, like, judgment and so many just, like, negative things. Like, I just feel like if everyone were to just be a little bit kind to each other, you have no idea the impact it would make on other people's lives. Sometimes just smiling at someone can, like, change their whole day. But yeah, so that had happened. But I think that was something that made our relationship stronger in a way, because the thing is, when that first when I had tried to take my life, we had only been dating for, like, 3 months. So that was kind of I know, looking back now, that was probably super intimidating for him, because it was like, you know, in my head I was like, you're probably better off without me, you know, we just met, like, don't get yourself involved with me, like, I'm a disaster. But, you know, he never took it that way. Like, he just took it as, like, you know, I'm gonna be here for you through, like, your recovery, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna support you. And, like, in our marriage now, I will say, I don't, like, some days are better than others. For example, like, sometimes you have really good days and, like, you could go weeks and months without thinking about something. And then sometimes I will get in, like, just a really dark place for, like, a week or a couple days, or it could be weeks at a time. So I think the biggest thing is, like, not even just marriage, just a relationship, is, like, just communicating it, because I used to just completely shut down and not want to talk about my problems. But being with him, he has, like, shown me that, you know, like, it's okay to talk about it with me. Like, he always, like, tells me, you know, tell me how you're feeling. And, like, just little things like that really help me. So
yeah,
there's definitely really great days. And I think some of this stuff has made our relationship stronger. But it's just shown me, like, you know, like, how lucky I am that he's, like, so supportive. He's so, like, gracious with me. And just that, super important to have people that are there for you and rooting for you, no matter what you're going through, like whether it be recovery, like from an eating disorder, like what if you're in therapy for depression, like anything. It's so important to like not be alone and have people that are on your side.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, yeah, you know, I was in an eating, I had an eating disorder for like 5 or 6 years and basically went from bulimia to be kind of becoming the whole anorexia, binge eating, you know, kind of that cycle where you starve yourself, then binge, and going through that and stuff like that. And just, you know, I was kind of dating somebody at the time that I was, you know, in the midst of my eating disorder, and it kind of showed me like the person that I never want to be with, because, you know, it's like when you're with someone who is not that good for you and you're going through something like that, then one day when you are with someone who is amazing and listens and everything like that, it really shows you like, okay, this is what I deserve. This is what I should be with.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really makes you appreciate that just as much more, I feel like. And I love that you said that, you know, you never know what someone's going through until, you know, you first off get to know them, but you should always just be kind. That is just something that I live by, because yes, I'm not perfect, obviously, but I try to just be nice to everybody. And I know that I've been told so many times, like, Mackenzie, you always look so happy. Like, I can't imagine you ever go through anything. And I'm like, you have like no idea. Like, mm-hmm. if you only knew. But it's because like, I just want to just be nice to everybody, because I don't know what that person's going through. And it, you know, so many people don't think like that. They just are rude and don't care. And
oh, yeah.
I definitely think the world would be a better place if we were all just nicer to each other, but you know.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So what are some things that, like, I don't know if you're currently in therapy now, but what are some other ways that you've noticed that have helped you kind of with healing from, you know, not only the sexual assault, but also like your eating disorder and everything else that you've gone through? Like, just what are some ways that have helped you with healing in that process?
Yeah. Well, so one big thing for me is I've always loved to like write poetry. It's like always been like kind of therapeutic for me. Like some, I don't know what it is, but like something about like writing on like with pen and like having to think out the words like has always just been super helpful. And I think being able to like write things down on paper also like solidifies them, because I feel like one big thing with is we are, and when I say we, I mean like anyone who's gone through any trauma, like everyone has gone through some type of trauma in their life. And like one of the biggest things is like being in denial that it happened to you, or wanting to accept the fact that it did happen. Because, you know, like in for anything, for like if you are a drug addict, if you are like having an eating disorder, anything, I feel like one of the steps is accepting that it happened. And, you know, like just acceptance is like the number one thing, because you can't move on if you haven't accepted what happened. There's no way to move forward to another step. So I feel like writing has been super helpful for me, because I can just like put out everything on paper that I'm feeling. Something that I used to do when I was just so angry and like just had all these emotions I just didn't know what to do with, I would write my feelings down, crumble it up, and then I would burn it with a lighter. But it was something like that was just therapeutic to me too, because I was like, you know, I'm getting this out in like a healthy way that, you know, I don't know, like it's just, writing has just been like huge for me. Another thing, and I recently got into this, has just been like music, specifically like the EDM scene. So it's all about, and this has been like a more recent thing, but the reason I just mentioned it is because one thing I really love about the EDM scene is like what the community stands for, which the saying is PLUR, and it means peace, love, unity, and respect. And that's the main thing I really like about the scene is the people who I've met. I've only been in it, like I said, for a couple months, but I've met so many amazing people who have just gone through, you know, like so many things, people from so many different walks of life. But the biggest thing that I love is that they're all so accepting and just like respect each other and literally just put out like, you know, good vibes, like all that stuff. So music, writing, those have been like the two biggest things I would say for me.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I've like seen some of your like poetry and stuff that you've written and everything like that. And I'm like, she should definitely write a book.
Thank you. I've actually been working. I've been working on the same book for years now.
Really?
I will not write for like a year and then have like a month or like, I'm really, I think it's because I haven't sat down to do it seriously. Mm-hmm. But I think once I do that, then I can do it. I just haven't done that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, those are such good, healthy ways of healing. And, you know, I know music and writing can be very healing for a lot of people. I am really into journaling. I know that really helps me. I'm definitely not any type of poetry writer because that's just not something I'm good at. But I know that what I've learned in therapy is definitely to journal everything. And that just helps me get my feelings out, or, you know, sometimes just going for a walk. You know, I'm very into like nature. So hiking and walking and all that stuff is very like therapeutic to me as well. Mm-hmm. So I definitely love that. And I think that that's also helpful for people to know that are listening to the podcast that there's so many different ways of healing that it doesn't always have to be the same. And it doesn't have to be put into this like box or look a certain way. And everyone's type of healing is very different. And I don't think people should, you know, judge based off of how that person's going through it. And, you know, definitely the things that you have gone through, there is no time limit of how you're supposed to heal on that. And I definitely want people to know that, because that is so important, especially nowadays with so many people have just gone through different things. And I feel like people try to put like a time limit. Okay, after a year, I should be so much better. I shouldn't have to worry about ever feeling that again. And I think that this is just something that you'll obviously carry through the rest of your life, and you'll always kind of be healing. And, you know, even especially with, you know, the eating disorder and depression and all that stuff, like that stuff just doesn't leave you, and you can't ever, they always say like, you can't really ever fully ever heal from eating disorder or depression. It's just kind of always with you, but you obviously go into recovery and you get better. And I just love that you're taking those steps, but you're also accepting the fact that you're still healing. You're still getting through it. It's not something that you're just over, and you know, that's just that. Yes. So I love that.
Yeah. Well, and like a main thing that like, one thing I just love about your podcast is like you say, like healing, you know, healing is not linear. And that's just, I know you were just talking about that, but it's so true. It's just like, and I just like to use the word recovery, because I feel like the word recovery can be used for so many things. Like, like you say, eating disorders, it can be used for people who, you know, are addicted to drugs or alcohol or depression, like anything. And I just love the word recovery, because like you were saying, everyone's recovery looks so different. There might be people out there who have quit drugs cold turkey and never touch it again in their lives, or there may be people that have relapsed several times. And you know, like with anything, and because someone relapsed doesn't make them any less than the person who didn't. And I just think the main thing that's so important is just supporting each other, like through our journeys. Like you said, everyone's journey is so different. Like, you might have some really great days and you might have some really bad ones, but I feel like the main thing is just remembering that that feeling is not forever. But the good thing is, like, to feel. Like, you have to feel these things. And, like, one thing I'm doing right now is, like, I actually, like, am studying to become a therapist. So it's, like, I don't wish bad things upon anyone, obviously, to happen, but I feel like sometimes when these things happen to us, it, like, opens up this other part of ourselves that we may have never known. Like, I don't think I ever would have decided to become a therapist if it wasn't for the things that happened to me, and realizing that like my passion is like to help other people, like to help others heal. And that's something you're doing with your podcast too. Like, we all have so many different talents that I think it's so awesome to see others using their talents for like what they think may help others. So I think what you're doing is just so awesome, and I just think it's great, like being able to help others, being able to help others on their journey and like root them on. So, yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, it's so funny that you said that you're, you know, going to be a therapist, which that's awesome. I was actually just talking to my mom about this. So I was a nanny and then now work at an insurance agency in South Park. And I always told my mom, I said, you know what? I wish that when I was graduated college, that I had went to school to be a therapist, because I said, I feel like I would have been able to help out a lot of people. And I think that sometimes therapists who have been through kind of sometimes what their, you know, their what's the word, like what they're good at and stuff like that. Like my therapist specializes in mostly eating disorders and like couples counseling kind of. So I think that when you've been through some of that stuff, like it makes you a better therapist because you can relate to that person more. So when you do become that, like you're going to be so amazing at it because you know what it's like. And then you know the steps to take, what it means to heal and to get better and to be able to kind of, you know, not just settle in that feeling of hurt, but, you know, grow from it and just, you know, live your life and don't let the thing that happened to you stop you. So I love that.
I know. It's great. Life is, and I just think like we, like people are brought into our lives, like for certain reasons. Like sometimes you may never, like I've met so many people who, cause I've been very open about my story, like on social media, and you know, some people aren't, and that is of course 110% okay. Like we are all in different places, but the reason I'm so vocal about my story, which some people don't like I've had some people tell me like, you know, you shouldn't like talk about this so openly, or like, okay, you've already told us a bunch of times, like do you just want attention? And I'm like, no. The reason I tell my story is because for every bad comment I get or like person that it annoys, I get like one or two new people telling me like, you know what, I went through the same thing, and like I never knew anyone else that it happened to, or like I was so ashamed, or I was just so depressed and I just didn't know how to move on from it. And like me being able to be vocal about it helped them maybe tell someone, or maybe help them like realize, you know, I'm not alone. So I think that's like one of the biggest things I take away from it too. Like to some people it may like be weird, but like I know what my intentions are. And I think that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're in recovery, you have to be like unapologetically like yourself. Like if you step on toes, then oh well, it's okay.
Exactly. And you know, I for the longest time never wanted to tell anybody, and I think I've actually opened up more on this podcast than I have like ever in my life. And I've told things on this podcast more than I have like to my actual friends, or, you know, really the only people that know the most about me is my parents and my therapist. And, you know, it's so true. Like since I've opened up more on this podcast and talked about it, more people have come to me and they're like, I went through that, or I'm going through that, and I totally understand. And oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like, and I'm like, that, you know, my intention when I first started this podcast wasn't really for that, for me to just sit here and talk about my own problems. But I wanted to obviously bring on other people and just give a different perspective to others who maybe if they're not even going through this, but to just, you know, like we talked about earlier, be nicer to people or understand better if maybe they're having a boyfriend, girlfriend go through this. So I definitely think that that is super important to always share your story and to just always be yourself. So... Yes. Well, I am so grateful that you were on our podcast today, or my podcast, I should say. and thank you so much for sharing your story and just being you. You're awesome.
No, thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we did this. And, you know, I just hope that by, you know, talking about this, that it can, if it at least could impact one person or just let one person know that they're not alone, then... I think I did my job.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you. All right, guys. That is it. I hope that you guys all enjoyed this podcast, and make sure that you are listening, and I hope that you all enjoy.